In 2026, 3CR is celebrating 50 years on air.
Thanks for choosing a 3CR podcast. Throughout June, we're running our annual Radiothon, where we ask you, the listener, to make a donation so that we can continue to make great radio. Your donation will help keep us community-owned and community-controlled. Go to 3cr.org.au/donate, and with that done, please enjoy the podcast.
Listening to Rotations on 3CR. My name is Elena, and joining us in the studio today is Fairtrade Narcotics. The Melbourne six-piece band has just released their second album, Recession Pop, a record that moves through psychedelic pop, jazz, rock, and soul while exploring themes of reinvention, belonging, burnout, and finding moments of joy when the world feels a little overwhelming. Over the past few years, Fairtrade Narcotics have steadily built a reputation as one of Melbourne's most distinctive acts, earning support from community radio stations around the country, and developing a sound that is both adventurous and deeply collaborative. Recession Pop was written and recorded during a period of significant change for the band, and as a result, the record is ambitious, playful, reflective, and full of character. We're lucky enough to have them here with us today for a live-to-air performance. Before we sit down for a chat about their music, please welcome Fairtrade Narcotics.
Hello. Hello, 3CR, and hello, Elena. Thank you for having us. We're Fairtrade Narcotics. We're going to play three songs for you this afternoon. This first one is called Up in the Air.
Simmer down slowly. We've got all the time to demonstrate who we are, what we're about. Hanging out and coming up. Get down, simmer down slowly. You and I are a conscious stream. Sink into this honey pot scheme. No matter where we'll be, floating up in the air. You and I are an island stream. sink into this honeypot scheme. No matter where we'll be, the non-negotiable.
Everyone tuning in out there, you're listening to 3CR Radical Radio. We're a band called Fairtrade Narcotics. That was our song Up in the Air. We recently put out our second album. It's called Recession Pop. And next we're going to play the leading single from the album. It's called Sway. Thank you. was our song Sway from our new album Recession Pop. We've got one song left for you. It's another new one. It's called Soul Heavy. Narcotics. We make music here in Melbourne. You can find our music anywhere, and we hope to see you at a show sometime.
That was Fairtrade Narcotics, live from Studio 3 with some pretty incredible stuff. I want to give a big thank you to the band for taking the time to give us something beautiful to listen to on this wonderful Sunday afternoon. Now, as we wait for the band to maneuver their way over to me in Studio 1, let's take a listen to another song from the album. This is Downturn. For anyone who might be hearing the band for the first time, we've got them in here for a chat a little bit about themselves and their art. We are so happy to have you guys on 3CR Rotations.
Hey, Elena.
Well,
thanks for having us.
Yay.
Well, do you want to tell our listeners who are we talking to?
We are a band called Fair Trade Narcotics, and we make music here in Melbourne. We're based predominantly out of Brunswick. I'm Brooke. I sing, I play guitar and flugelhorn, a bit of trumpet in the band.
My name's Jules. I play the keyboards in the band.
I'm George. I play guitar.
I'm Luca. I'm also in the band, and I play the drums.
I'm Wilson. I play bass and sing backing vocals, and from time to time, I send emails.
Well, welcome in, guys. First things first, that sounded fantastic.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm wondering, how different does a song feel when you're performing it live versus in a room like this, comparing to hearing it back on the record?
Ooh,
I love it in a room like this. It's very fun.
We actually practice and recorded a lot of our most recent album, Recession Pop, in a sort of small room like the 3CR studio we just performed in. So it feels right at home.
Mm. Yeah, a bit more cozy.
It actually feels a lot more accurate to the music as well, because when you're playing live, like, there's so many things that will influence how you play. Like, there's adrenaline, there's the glory of seeing all your friends and people that you don't know in front of you, there's maybe the four beers, good or bad, soundy, so many things. But yeah, it's cool. Like, we play, like, just then I feel like I heard details in the music that I haven't heard in a while, because we're like, you know, in a beautiful tight room where we can hear everything properly.
Yeah, well, nice. Speaking of Recession Pop, that title is a pretty loaded phrase. When did that first appear, and did it immediately feel like it summed up what the album was about?
That phrase came to my mind around the time we had started writing and playing two of the album singles, Hell for Leather and Pivot, which had a bit more of a psychedelic tip. And we were kind of joking amongst ourselves, huh, we're making pop music now, because we've had more of a background of garage rock, kind of like groove jazz and like a little bit of this and that. But like entering the psych pop terrain, it's always been like a vein of music that a number of us are fans of and interested in, you know, like bands like Crumb and Pond and that 2010s kind of psych music. But it came about mainly, I think also just because we were going through a bit of a time, and I was really just doing the YouTube deep dives and fascinated by how whenever there is like a hard time globally, there's a surge in very sugar-coated pop music. And I was kind of just fascinated with that phenomenon. And I thought it was just sounded like a really compelling album title. And it kind of informed, I guess, a bit of a scope of like how the album was going to come together. Yeah. So it was kind of like we'd had a few songs first, came up with the album title, and then we realized that we were building a world.
Yeah, it coincided with trying to make an album while broke.
Well, yeah, there is a bit of tension in the title. Like, on one hand, it's playful, but beneath that, it constitutes something, I think, a little bit deeper. Was that contrast something that you found yourself drawn to while making the record?
I think even the band name Fair Trade Narcotics, it's often one of the first questions we get asked is, where did it come from? Honestly, I like that the band name and the album name are both similarly have this juxtaposition, and I love the contrast and the contradiction, and that kind of juxtaposition is something that we play with a lot thematically across like all of our catalogue. It's been a running, recurring theme, and it's only when you look back on your work that you start to notice the common threads of like what has come up time and time again as a bit of a theme.
Yeah, well, this album, as you were saying, was written over a period that included some pretty major changes for you guys, including losing your recording space. And looking back now, do you think those disruptions ended up shaping the record in unexpected ways?
Absolutely, yeah. I feel like we must have ended up with like three or four new songs since we closed the studio and decided to keep making the album across different locations. And, you know, it was kind of the thing of like the acoustic space we were in shaped those songs as well.
Yeah.
We started getting a bit dancier, I think,
once
we were in a little bungalow.
But what we kind of, lost in it as a home base, we relocated to the backyard of our keyboard player, Jules Burns. So it's kind of like, you know, we had to move on from one thing, but we gained so much more through that space. And I think through that transitional period, I think we all became stronger for it. Yeah, and also, sure. and we also now have Jules in the group, which has been something we've...
Thanks, Jules.
And I don't have to go very far for rehearsal at all.
Yeah, moving from one home to another, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, when you're in the middle of a bit of a difficult period, whether that's creatively or personally, does making music become a form of escape, or does it become a way of confronting what's actually going on?
I think we've always treated this music and this band as art as a form of catharsis.
Shout out that label, Artist Catharsis, yeah. Sydney music label.
Didn't mean to spook them, but it is, but honestly, great label. Yeah. Mm. But I think lately I've been personally thinking about a lot how we can balance making music for ourselves and for our own outlet and for our own artistic expression, but then also making music for the people that is going to be danceable and accessible. And I feel like we're getting closer to balancing those worlds.
Yeah, I feel like it's both. Hey, like you start whatever art you do, you start your craft out of escape from whatever is going on, and then through doing your craft, it tells you how you really feel about everything.
Hmm.
And then if it's that you actually want to make positive, like, groovy music, then that's what you need to get through that. Yeah,
I guess sometimes you maybe don't even know how you feel until you express it in that way, and
yeah,
then
totally. Yeah.
Can look back and reflect and see how your personal influences influence your music and vice versa. Mm. One thing that I really notice when listening to the record is how connected everybody sounds, and it feels like less than six individual musicians and more like one conversation that's happening in real time.
It's because we're in love.
In love. For those who can't see, they're making hand hearts here in the studio.
It's just a bass drummer thing. You wouldn't get it unless you.
It's a rhythm section thing. Yeah. You just romance.
You guys have all seen the memes on Reels. It's true. All of it is true.
We've definitely got a romance in the rhythm section. And I often think about like the dynamic between bandmates. It's kind of like a marriage between six people, you know?
Yeah. Well, was that something that developed naturally or is more of a trial and error situation?
Yeah, can I answer this one? So I joined the band. I'm the second most recent addition to the band. I joined the band like, I don't know, coming on 2 years ago. And I remember going to my first rehearsal at our old studio and just like firstly being in awe of the space and just being kind of stoked that I was in a new band that, like, you know, it was a band I knew about before I was in the band and I was really happy to play. But we sat down for my like first ever rehearsal, which I didn't realize was kind of more of an audition, and started playing. I was taught all the songs, and I think from 30 seconds of playing with Luca, we had figured out that this is really fun. Like, we were making eyes at each other straight away, and now we're shaking hands like dorks. Lord. But, like,
hide Wilson from me.
The musical synergy is, like, it's really, really hard to avoid, and I don't think anyone should endeavor to avoid it. But when we're, like, all of this music is... whether we realize it or not, it's a reflection of our lives. Like, I don't think it's possible to make art in a vacuum and not have it reflect your life in some kind of way. So when we come together once a week and, like, play all this music together and, you know, you can sort of hear everyone's experiences and how they're playing. Like, I can hear if Luca's had a bad week, or I can hear if Brooke's had an amazing week or whatever. Like, there's a real bond that comes in, like, expressing a product of our lives as art together. So, yeah. The bond is, like, not something that deliberately happened, but it's something that always does happen.
Yeah.
Yes.
It'd be nothing without the people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like making music or making art in general, it leaves you in kind of such a vulnerable space, and especially when you're creating with other people, having that, the beauty of you know, expressing yourself in that way kind of opens doors to make real, more deeper connections. But yeah, I think you guys have worked that out really well. I mean, it sounds...
You kind of have to. Like, I feel like bands don't often last unless you've kind of figured that thing out.
I think we've got a strong bedrock of friendship.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and that definitely translates in your music. Like I said, it sounds more like a conversation between you all rather than hear six people playing their instruments all together. I think that's a really beautiful thing.
I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, bands are the original polycules.
Exactly.
Well, on that.
And we will. But yeah, you guys have spoken about wanting to break away from environments that weren't encouraging growth or experimentation. What have you learned about recognizing when it's time to move on?
I can chime in on that one. And I think that it's one of those situations where you have to take an attitude of accepting that life moves in seasons and in cycles, and people go through seasons and cycles of their life, and you have to accept that sometimes things, you know, when you feel something naturally run its course, instead of trying to like hold on so tight and grip it too tight, you have to be a little more free flowing with it and like love and accept everyone regardless of whatever might happen in the future, and know that the time is here and now, and staying in the present, I think that keeps me really grounded through any changes in music, in life. That's the best way I can put it, is having a and it's a theme in the first song that we played today, Up in the Air. It's about exploring the idea of like a non-possessive love and loving without the need for ownership, you know, however that might manifest like in your life.
Yeah. I mean, how does that relate to you all in I mean, I feel like that's a really important statement, but everybody kind of can take that in their own personal way and have that navigate that uniquely. And how does that reflect on your music, on your life, on your friendships, on your relationships within each individual one of you?
I mean, in our case, definitely the amount of changes in, you know, places and just configurations of how we can still show up to do this band over the last couple of years, that's definitely what sort of sticks out to me.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's like that element of like following where the inspiration is, right? Like how you can't keep doing the same thing. So where are you finding, where can you see the next thing?
Yeah.
And following.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. I think, like, if we're talking about, like, moving on and stuff, like, in purely a musical context, I think this band doesn't think about that often because we are always writing.
Yeah.
Like, two of the songs we played just then are, like, less than 2 months old. And, like, I think if anything, we kind of have the opposite problem of trying to figure out what works and what to keep.
Yeah.
Because, like, Brooke is, like, chained to the wheel with this project. Like, Brooke never switches off fair trade mode. And, like, always thinking, like, we've already got, like, I'm not going to tell you because I feel like we're not ready to announce yet, but we have a name for our next album and, like, we have a concept and, like, we're always working.
Yeah.
So I feel like, yeah, the moving on thing, like, we kind of do the opposite, I guess.
I think it's moving forwards, hey?
Yeah.
Like, staying in motion is what keeps us, we don't have stagnant waters. I think the stagnation is how things start to feel hard and when it feels like work. And I really love for our music to feel like play and for it to be gentle and for it to be something that you want to do and not something that it shouldn't conjure a feeling of, like, you know, having to do it, doing it like
it's not a chore.
It's not a chore. It is work. But it is a labor of love. Like, that's the best way I can put it. And also, I'm chained to the wheel, so.
You are.
Yeah, well, speaking of that, when with six people in the band, all living their own individual lives, how do you lift each other up maybe when somebody isn't feeling motivated or isn't feeling inspired? How do you bring that spark back to the group?
We spend a lot of time, like, you know, whether it be at our rehearsal or just in life in general, together as friends. Like, you know, it's not just music that we come together to do.
Mm. We show up for each other a lot and everyone plays in different projects and we all have, like, pretty active social lives, all of that. But I think we all show up for each other and we check in quite a lot. We're all very involved in each other's, like, lives and what's happening.
I guess on the opposite spectrum of that, has there ever been a time where somebody's really inspired and has a crazy idea and the rest of the band doesn't quite know where it's going yet, but you just got to lead and trust that that person, you know, has this vision and going to make it happen?
That's the whole thing. Like, you do need to trust your bandmates in that regard, but you also need to be chill if down the line it is a bad idea. You need to be a professional in that.
Yeah.
I was going to say that's like sort of going back to that letting go thing. I think a little bit more in there, like it is important to let go of things sometimes in that regard. You have to be okay with your idea not being good.
Yeah.
But it, like not that it's going to be, but that sort of has to also be a thing there. Same with like professionalism in a general sense. I think you have to be like pretty not confrontational. What am I? You know, like you have to be okay with just like knowing how it is, I guess, basically. And that's totally where you can keep on going or move on from something.
Yeah.
So there's that totally.
Yeah. I think not being attached to outcomes, but trusting in the process together.
Yeah. Just give it a go. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. And that's fine. But you've also got to not let your feelings get hurt by those things too, in a way.
Is that difficult when you have an idea and maybe it doesn't work out? Is that
stings for 5 seconds, but then it's like, we're okay. Sure. It's a shame, but it's also like...
It's like you're just going to rip off the Band-Aid. Like,
any idea we have, we always let it run its course. And
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. We'll try things together.
We never just like completely veto an idea without giving it a proper shot.
Yeah.
I remember hearing something... I heard something really great out of the sax player in Steppers once. Shout out Steppers, they're our friends. Amazing band. But he told me that it's either going to be great or it's going to be funny. So like everything that isn't great... It's just funny.
That's a great way of looking at it.
Yeah. And then also like in terms of being attached to stuff, like my composition teacher, I did a jazz guitar degree in Queensland, and my composition teacher told me that you should write all the time and not be too attached to anything you write.
Yeah.
It's like the classic advice that Ed Sheeran always gives, like, just write 1,000 songs. And
at least one of them will be okay.
Yeah. You'll write a bunch of stinkers and then you'll start getting really good at it. But we come up with a lot of grooves, and like thankfully once you can sort of flesh stuff out with the rest of the band, it tends to sound pretty fire every time, if I say so myself.
That's something we're definitely working towards with our next record is writing a lot together, accumulating a catalogue, and then really choosing the cream of the crop. Yeah. Where our first two albums have been very much a bit of a scrapbook and a like almost like a diary entry of like the past year that we would have had, you know, at the time of writing and recording simultaneously. Going forward, we're taking a lot more of that Ed Sheeran approach, I suppose, and trusting the process.
The best to ever do it.
Yeah, totally. I think staying fluid, trusting each other, and being open to change. I think the thing that I love about making music with this band is I might have all the ideas in the world of how a song is going to sound in my head, but I always like it better when my bandmates play the way they want to play. It is always better, and it's better because it's real.
Yeah.
Because one thing is your... imagination and what you can't impose your will on the music. The music has to be what it is, and it is only going to be what it is if everyone gets to bring what they do best to the shared pizza pie, so to speak. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah.
We love pizza.
When the moon hits your eye.
We love pizza.
Well, yeah, the making of this record seems definitely to have involved a lot of trust, not just, like you said, not just in one another, but in that creative process itself. Has your relationship with uncertainty changed as you've grown into the musicians that you are?
Anyone feel free to chime in here.
Everything's uncertain at any given time, whenever. So,
yeah, I feel like that's the magic of it. Like, you don't know what you're going to... about to throw down.
You just got to be chill with that, though. Anything can happen, ever.
Did that take time to be chill with that?
Yeah, totally. I don't think you wake up as a kid musician being chill with things that are crazy and uncertain.
Yeah,
you kind of have to like beat that into yourself, because it's like that's totally part of the bit. Yeah. Is like being okay with chaos.
Like, I got to shout out a classic George Ingalls phrase here. It's only music. Like, I think about this all the time. Like, it's like I'm a career musician. I play in a bunch of other bands apart from this, and like, it's all I do. And it's the most important thing in the world to me. But at the end of the day, it is only music. Like, some of the most prepared, legit, high funded gigs I've ever done have gone way worse than gigs that we've done in dive bars. You know, there really is nowhere. And also, like, you know, we joke about how like people are talking about AI as if it's a new thing, but like music technology has had a mind of its own forever.
Yeah.
Like all of our gear will like die on us at some point, and like Pro Tools will like reset itself and like kill half of our backing vocals. And like there's all these things that like will plague a musician forever. And there really is very little you can do to mitigate it. You just have to be okay with everything turning left at some point.
Yeah.
So
anything that can go wrong will go wrong at some point. And from running this band for a significant stint now. It can and has gone wrong in the past, but it makes the wins all the more sweeter, yeah. I think. Yeah. And it took me a long time to chill out with everything, but I think I'd say we're all pretty much on the same bandwidth of, like, energy chillness when we come together to make music.
Energy chillness, I like that. Yeah, I feel like that having... being okay with things going wrong or being able to adapt in that way is such an important skill, and it is kind of hard to practice. Like, it's not like picking up and playing your instrument. You know, you can play the same things over and over and get better at it. This is a skill that is kind of, you know, it's a life skill that can be implemented into everything you do.
Yeah,
but
comfort is dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, if you're out of your comfort zone, you might do something you don't expect.
Yeah. Comfort is complacency. And we've always come out, any hurdles that we've had to face, we've always come out stronger for it. And
that is why I deleted the album when we were making it.
Oh, my God.
That was pretty funny.
Oh, my
God. Was a really funny text message.
Oh, no. What is... Now you must hear more about this.
I was just trying to back up the album one day, and I managed to delete the whole thing.
We recovered it, fortunately.
We did, and now it's out, so...
Yes.
Yeah, well, we heard it here today. We got the album. That's a pretty crazy left hook right there.
Sound engineers, don't wipe your hard drives. Keep everything on backup where possible, please.
Yeah. That.
Oh, and the best backup is if you go out and buy yourself a physical copy.
And we have
CDs
those.
For sale on our Bandcamp.
Yes. We have a Bandcamp store. You can get
doesn't
a
apply for George when he deletes the album though, but that's okay.
That's why everyone else needs it.
Yeah.
Everyone else needs a backup copy just in case. Yeah, speaking of the album, was there a particular song on the album that took you by surprise, or maybe one that became more important than originally anticipated?
Anyone feel free to jump in here. I'm really interested.
What's your favorite, Jules? It's a tough one, I think. Sorry, that is a tough question. I do love playing Pivot. I think that's a really... it's got such a good boppy bass line. I like all the songs on the album quite a lot. So it's hard to... pick one as my absolute favourite.
Or whichever one. Which one took you by surprise? Was there one that you were like, oh, I don't know about this one, and then you maybe came around on it? Because I think that's definitely been...
Yeah, maybe.
I feel like in my, my position with this is, like, the way that we recorded this album over, like, a long period of time is, like, a lot of the time you'll go in and do the drums first. And so, like, I did that millions of years ago, right? Like, I recorded them... so long ago, and then it's kind of
that.
Like where George
before
and... before the Ice Age, yeah. but, like, George and Brooke, like, you know, were, like, engineering, and Brooke obviously overseeing the engineering. They're with it, like, most days of the week, whereas I would, you know, recorded everything and then sort of was like, well, great, like, you know, my job here is done until it's out. So it's kind of... the whole thing was kind of almost like an epic surprise because I was like, all I remember is just like dry drums, and I'm like, ugh. You know, so the whole thing was like great. It turned out
so
great because that's kind of happens to players, I guess. You know, you do your bit and you put it down and you're doing something else.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's really real. I remember, like, I actually have said this on the radio before specifically about this album, but everything is a surprise. We spent all this time leading up to our album launch at the Curtain that I think you and Brooke spruced. Thank you for that. But, you know, leading up to that, like, we kind of tend to rehearse every week, and, like, you get a really clear idea of how the songs sound and what they are and what they mean. But obviously there's two different products. There's, like, the songs that you're playing and the way that you're playing them, and then there's the recorded album. And leading up to our album launch, I was borrowing George's car heaps because we lived together. And the only CD I had was a copy of the album. So I was like listening to it in the car all the time.
Yeah. Well,
and I had this real moment where I was like, hey, this music is incredible and I'm so honored to play it. But B, like, this is a dub album. Like, George's production, George loves, like, Groove Armada and, like, like a lot of dub music, like Lee Scratch Perry and stuff. And,
love
like,
it.
Listening to it, there's all these, like, delay throws on the trumpets on the album and, like, a certain kind of, like, warmth or, like, low and mid presence that is really kind of idiomatic of dub music that I had just never clocked. Like, I'd never realized that was such a strong flavor in our music, and, like, that kind of changed how I play it live as well. But yeah, so like the whole thing was a surprise.
In the best possible way.
I reckon that, yeah, I'm going to second that. I think the, I'm so glad that you actually said dub, because it really just, I now have a name for this. It is a mixing style of George's, and it's a recurring theme across our things he works on that isn't fair trade as well. There's always, like, there's very few sound engineers or studio engineers that seem to have a character so much, like, the music that George works on has a distinct character.
Yeah.
Oh, guys.
And it really, I think that it's some of his best work to date.
Thank you.
You can tell that he's poured a lot of love into the record.
I think, like, the music I love to listen to and that I'm often inspired by is stuff that you can listen back and hear. The deeper you hear, listen, you hear more details each time. You come away with something new. So, I'm glad we got to that.
Yeah, it's and speaking of your style, I think it's really cool that we were speaking about earlier. We have some mutual music friends that we didn't know about until pretty recently, and I've heard their stuff, and now I get to put that in connection with you. Now that I know you and have met you and listened to your style, and I think that's really cool that you have these connections with my friends and their what they've recorded in the past, and then bringing that to
Alley
now.
Avenue.
Shout out Alley Avenue.
We love you, Brenna.
We love you, Brenna. We love you, Jules. But yeah, I think that's really cool to be able to put those two together now and think of it as a like creative entity, I guess, that you've built.
It's which like under the umbrella.
Yeah.
It's the George Brella.
The George Brella. It's beautiful. But yeah, now that you've got some distance from the recording process, is there a moment, a specific moment on the album that still makes you smile every time you hear it?
When it finishes?
A little bit of ha-ha for the people listening.
Yeah, I always swoon for the last song as well. The instrumental segue march on into Wilson's theme. And for anyone who hasn't maybe heard our record, Wilson's theme is the second half of the final album closer track. And it's Wilson singing and playing bass. And it's like a moment where we're getting tucked into bed. It feels like a lullaby serenade.
Totally. Oh,
and
God.
It's really sweet. It's like we've had this whole, the album is a journey, and the beautiful thing lately is every night that I've gone out in the last couple of weeks, I've met someone who I don't know who has either been to our recent album launch, or they've seen us at one of our residency shows, or I've had people that I've never met come up to me and say that, hey, I love Recession Pop and I listen through it start to finish. I don't go picking out singles or shuffling it. Like it is a start to finish album. It is a journey. And I've met people that have shared their personal experience of having a really emotional experience with the record, and that to me is the most gratifying part of it, because the music is personal, but it's not ours anymore in a way. It's theirs, it's yours, it's anyone who has an experience with it. That's the part about music that I love, is that it becomes bigger than your insular and our insular music experience. It's now out in the world. And that's something I love. I also love Wilson's bass line and Hell for Leather. That never gets old on me.
George wrote that.
That is true.
It's a good one. I love playing bass lines George writes. They're really hard to play.
Well, I guess it's easier to write harder bass lines when you're not the one that has to play them.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. When you get a guitar player to write a bass line.
Yeah.
I do just want to, like, quickly go back to what Brooke was saying about, like, us being, like, done with the album, now we give it to you. I remember seeing this, like, amazing Instagram reel of this artist talking about how, like, the art itself is not the product. It's, like, not the art. The record is not our creativity. Like, what our, like, actual body of work and the reflection of our creativity is everything that led into making the album. That's what we do. The album is just like a token or like a representative of our work. So every time someone makes an album, like the artist's work finishes and then they kind of like, you know, put that little boat on the river and like let it go and like give it to other people.
Get out of my house.
Yeah. So it's kind of like in a way, like when I'm listening to albums, I think about it almost as if I'm like reading about the making of the album.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what you're doing. Like you're reflecting on the creative process that led to this thing. And yeah, it's been so special to hear what people think of the album. Like, I don't think my mum has listened to anything but Recession Pop since it came out, which is really cute.
That's really
and
sweet.
And also, like, our... I'm also meeting people that I've never recognized and, like, seeing folks at our headline show that I've never seen before. And, like, it's a beautiful thing. Like, when you're a musician, like, a lot of the time your audience is just other musicians and other people in the scene. So when you start to see people that might be a few scenes removed coming and supporting, it's a beautiful thing. So we're very lucky.
Very fortunate. And it's in large part to people like yourself, Elena. And also shout out to Luna and Tilda for the sound mix.
Yeah.
At the start of the show, they made us feel so comfortable. Community radio has been a big part of our growth as a band for a number of years. And it's without stations like this, you know, platforming underrepresented independent music and helping us get our sounds out there. You know, it's a beautiful symbiotic relationship that we have with radio and any musicians from any style. So very grateful for, you know, people like yourself and stations like this for holding a space for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's so, so necessary. And I think a lot of the, you know, we talked about what goes into making art and then the product of the art. But I think, like you said, when you, you know, kind of now the album, you're giving it to people to listen to and have their own response. I think other people's response to your art is such an incredible thing to watch, and everybody has a different reaction to what they're listening to or what they're seeing or what they're playing. And I think that is such a valuable part of the entire creative process, the, you know, the before the product and then afterwards seeing other people interact with what you've created is such a beautiful thing. Well, what are some things that listeners, speaking of listening to the album and hearing about it, what are some things that maybe they might miss on their first listen that you are particularly proud of that you want to point out?
Cool.
I think a lot of the textures, I've had a number of people say, hey, I notice new things on each repeat listen, and it's not very specific, but, like, you know, little textures, maybe little dub throws. A lot of the production really shines on the repeat because we could record everything in a more live style, but I think what gives the album longevity and a lifespan beyond us, and like Wilson said, setting your little boat out on the water and letting it set sail, I'm not entirely sure. I think just different little production elements and maybe little lyrical moments that give the audience some time to reflect. I deliberately try and write in a way that is personal but not too specific, so that people who are listening can have their own interpretation or apply it to their own lives and take their own meaning from it.
I would almost say, like, listen for the things that aren't instruments, because with the different places that we ended up recording it, we sort of added little recordings of the environments or, like, elements around. So, like, for example, in one of the songs, I remember sitting there with, like, a cup of water with you. We would, like, miking a cup of water and just, like, put, like, a sloshing throughout the song.
I was just, like, had my hand in the cup of water making a little, like, all the little droplet sounds, and it sounds like a river creek at the end of the last album.
Yeah, or there's, like, the tram. Yeah, tram
sounds. The six tram that was outside my place. We, George set up some mics, and it was, because I live very close to that tram line, so we would hear the bell and the of the tram taking off. So there's lots of sounds of our, like, you know, of our environment that is
your
in
car CD player.
My car CD player.
Walking to the pool.
on my footsteps. One day I was walking and I was wearing heels, and George is like, got his, like, phone down. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he's just like, I like the sound of your high heels.
Music is such a serious endeavor.
It's just music.
I got some Easter eggs. There's, like, a good bit. One of my favorite things is the end of Hell for Leather. Like, George mixes the, like, drum track that we'd spent so much time on with just, like,
a phone recording.
Fairly rubbish phone room recording of Luca playing, and it gets really like janky and awesome. And then another thing that I love, like little detail to listen for, is that like none of them are love songs. Like none of them. Brooke doesn't really write love songs. And I think that's really cool. I'm really trying not to swear. I'm excited. But like I think that's really cool. Like I think it's kind of interesting to write some lyrical content that isn't just the same as everything else.
Yeah. Like I think there's I've had love songs before, but the theme of this album was more platonic love between in a way semi-autobiographical, thinking about the camaraderie in the band, and it's more a theme of platonic love and love of craft.
Platonic love between you and the grind.
Oh my god.
It's a relationship there. It's a serious relationship.
That's
there.
Definitely romantic.
Brooke's
married to the game, so it's pretty easy to be monogamous.
Married to the job. But that's definitely a theme, I think, and, you know, where love songs come back into play for Fairtrade, it's like I think some of the early love songs I ever wrote pre-recession pop had an element of heaviness to it, and the love songs, like, that aren't on recession pop that are newer, like where it's not solely about that, but it's a lot lighter. And that's maybe just how my attitudes and my feelings towards these kind of things have changed over the years. And as I've grown and know, like learning what's good for you in life, music, love, whatever. I'm also happy that recession pop is like, you know, doesn't have romantic content, you know. I think that also makes it easier for me to listen back on without it feeling too indicative of a specific time in, I guess, my life. And it gives the music more of a lifespan for us all playing collectively, you know.
Yeah, I think that's a really beautiful thing. Well, as my last question, I want to ask you guys, what is next for Fairtrade Narcotics? What can listeners expect to see and hear and feel from you guys?
Stick around and find out.
Watch this space.
Like, comment, and subscribe.
Click the bell for notifications.
Every single
big thing's coming.
You can find us on the internet. We post most of our updates via Instagram at Fairtrade Narcotics. We're on all the streaming platforms. We're on Bandcamp. If you'd like to purchase a copy, that's the best way to support us because it's direct to us. There's no middleman, no algorithm, no aggregator. It's just you and us. And the best example of you and us is when you see us live. We have a gig coming up next week on Friday, the 5th of June, at the Retreat Hotel, and we're playing with a band called Lunar Lagoon, and I've been really loving all of their releases lately. They're gearing up for an EP, and I'm very excited to see them live, and I'm very happy that they said yes to coming and playing with us. So that one's also free entry, so it's very accessible. We wanted to do music for the people.
Yeah. Mm. And speaking of the people, better see y'all there. I'll be there. You better be there.
I'll see you there.
We'll all be there. Everyone in this room will be there. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go.
Hey man, can I get a door spot?
Can I get a door spot for me and five of my friends?
Well, it's free entry, so no door spots needed. You're all everyone's on the list.
Brunswick, you're on the door.
Brunswick is on the door. Melbourne's on the door. Everyone is welcome. And we would love to, if you've had an experience with our music or if you're new to it, come say g'day. You know, I personally love meeting the people that make the time for us.
Yeah.
That's because we'd be nothing without the people who support us. And once again, thank you, Elena, for having us on, because it's people like you, stations like 3CR, that help connect us with more beautiful people.
Yeah. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you guys on the show today. Fairtrade Narcotics album Recession Pop is out now. And if you haven't heard it yet or heard the full album yet, make sure to check it out. Thanks again for coming in and sharing some live music with us. I'm Elena, and you've been listening to Fairtrade Narcotics on 3CR Rotations. It's been a wonderful show on a lovely Sunday afternoon, so make sure to stay tuned for Queering the Air up next on 3CR Radio 855 AM. Rain.